the movement of the prophet Jeremiah as he ministered to Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. And as he did that, and we're looking at that, and Nebuchadnezzar, as we shared, would be on his way with the Babylonian army to ultimately level Jerusalem and the temple. And in the process, God gives the prophets Ezekiel in the land, Jeremiah in Jerusalem, Daniel, Habakkuk, they're all there. And who's listening? Israel is not listening. In Jerusalem, the Judah is not listening. So now, in the light of that, we share together in verse 22. Well, I'll read verse 21 for a little context again. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. What didn't they see? What didn't they understand? What didn't they hear? Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet cannot prevail. They cannot prevail past the sand. Though they roar and a great storm, they can't get past the sand. Yet they cannot pass over. The sand remains the boundary. And God, who created the heavens and the earth, tells us in Colossians, etc., that the whole universe is held in an orderly fashion by him. Billions and billions of galaxies, stars, trillions, they're all in place. He calls them all by name. Everything is in order. And in the light of that, coming down to our level, God told Israel that I control all of the ocean and all the waters. And I control it with a simple thing. My power is so magnificent. My wisdom is so superb that I've chosen to use little grains of sand to stop the oceans. So I choose to do that. And I want you to know that if I can do that, you need to see the big that. Say, that's big, you're right. Because here you are, a little nation, and Nebuchadnezzar, a big nation, is coming down, going to come down against you. And do you understand that that big nation can't come down unless I let it? It can't come down. Can't get there. Just like the sand stops the ocean, God said, I stop all nations. They only move as I allow them to in the outworking of history. And here they are. So here's Israel, and their heart is very hard. And as we read in verse 24, neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord, our God, who giveth rain, etc. They are not going to fear God. Back over to chapter verse 22. Fear ye not me. They aren't fearing God. A healthy awe. The awesome awfulness of God. They don't have that. The word reverence. To tremble. They don't have that. Don't have that. They're just doing what they do, and they aren't even concerned that all their material blessings of rain and everything is based on God's grace and mercy. And they are not caught. They don't care about that. They aren't even going to think about it. Wow. Now, we share together, fear ye not me. And we did that so that we would get the impact a little bit of the what God was telling him to fear. Why don't you fear me? You fear your problems. You have all kinds of fears, phobias, all kinds of things that govern when you go, when you don't go, your fear, and all the words that go with that. But you don't fear me. And you should fear me, and we share together. If you fear God properly, you'll have no improper fear of anything else. You just won't do it. All the hundreds of phobias, they all diminish, disappear, because of God. The same as if you were out in the great ocean, and there in the great ocean of the world, and out there in a little rowboat, here's God and here's your rowboat, and God, there's no way to make this except for you. And you'd be all right. You'd be all right. Now, in the light of that, there is the second little part of this that it might not hurt to look at. And in chapter 5 and verse 22, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble? Will you not tremble at my presence before me in the light of my personal presence right in front of you, just like ours right now? So God, here we are looking back here, and you're looking, and here we're looking, God, here in our own country and all the stuff that's going on, etc. And remember now, if you kept reading, which we'll do very quickly, but when we finish chapter 5, quickly, you want to remember, the people had no interest. They were going to follow the prophets and the priests, and the people and the priests and the prophets were all going to move together. And they were all clapping each other onward, and they weren't paying attention of where they were going. No one of them seemed to care about the consequences of what they were doing and why they did it. So our country, does anyone care? I know you all, people all try in different ways, but here's the movement going. Wow. Now, in the light of that, will you tremble at my presence? And thus, in the light of that, over in the word, and remember the word tremble, that word tremble has to do with twisting, turning, binding, a state of mental stretch, a state of waiting, holding out, turning in a circle, whirling around oneself about something, and stretching yourself around something tight. So, God, what do you say? Will ye not tremble at my presence? You ought to be stretched out, winding around me. You ought to be turning around me in your heart. I ought to be such a note, a person to you right now, that you wrap around me. Not anyone else, not Nebuchadnezzar. About me, wrap around me. Now, hang on to that. What was Israel, in the light of this word, doing and not doing? Over, if you would, please. Chapter 5. It's still in chapter 5. Verse 3. Chapter 5 and verse 3. And remember now, you're looking, why, what does it mean? What weren't they doing? They were not trembling at God's presence, in his presence. Chapter 5, verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, you've spanked them, you've disciplined, you've done all kinds of things to wake them up. Verse 3, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. They have not been pained to respond, to wrap themselves around. That's the word that you have, the word tremble, to grieve, to be in pain, to be pained, and in travail, to wrap yourself around in pain, to be wrapped up in pain. Just think of being in pain. And what does pain do? Pain wraps itself around you. It wraps you. It holds you, pain does. It holds you tight. It stretches itself around you. They were not pained about the whole thing. They weren't, and keep reading verse 3. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. They aren't moving. No one's moving. And the ominous, what's ahead? And no one, are you ever looking? Put your binoculars on. Take a look out the window. Look at the clouds. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, verse 19, Jeremiah now uses the word personally. My bowels, my inwards, heart, lungs, and all of that. My bowels, my inwards, I am pained at the very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Jeremiah said, I am very in my heart. I am pained. I am grieved. I tremble. I am being wrapped. I am being in a state of mental stretch like a woman in travail, the pain. I'm in a state of mental, writhing with pain, if you would, on account of pain. And here, the reality, my heart, I look at the reality of what's going to happen to Jerusalem, of the reality of Nebuchadnezzar coming, and the consequences that are all going to happen. I see this, and my heart is torn to see what's going to happen. It would be like if you could have known, back in September 11th or whatever it was, a few years ago, when the Twin Towers were bombed. They were born one day, and they were bombed another day. When they were bombed, if you could have known that, you could have known that, and you knew what was going to happen, and you knew it for sure. You couldn't tell anybody. No one would listen to you. But you knew it. That could bother you. It would bother some people. It would bother some people to know that. Nebuchadnezzar knows what's going to happen. And no one seems to care. And it wraps him, he's all wrapped up in what's happening. Now, how is he surviving? Because at the same time, he's wrapped up with all that's happening for real. He's wrapped up in God at the same time. Now, oh well. I save things like this so that someday if I need a string or something, I don't have to go 100 miles to find it. So, you want to know what the word means? That's what the word means. To get all wrapped up. All wrapped up. Now in the process of all of that, your Bible. Jeremiah is wrapped up in what's happening. It's for real. And we tried to share that last night a little bit in the board meeting. Leadership. Real. What you need is for real people that really sense and see the horror, the wonderment of being lost and being saved. and the ominous, awful, awesome presence of God. And they need to see that. There are many of us, dear people, we just don't have that. But the real guys that you've got to look for are the people that are there. And Jeremiah, God has to do that, by the way. And in the process, Jeremiah was running from the problem, but he couldn't run away. So Jeremiah is wrapped up in the problem, but the safety he has, he isn't getting away from the problem. He isn't getting away from it. It's causing him to be wrapped around God. That's how he makes it. The reality of it. He isn't run away. Not at all. He's looking for that to work. And it draws him, it makes him. The problem should press you into the presence of God. The item should cause you to turn to God and look to God. And that's what it was doing. But for Israel, it did not do that. It didn't do that at all. So now, having said that, over if you would please, over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And you would recall in Psalm 37, wonderful psalm of wonderful words. Don't fret, the first verse, don't fret. Don't lose your cool. Stay calm. Stay with it. Don't lose it. Trust in the Lord, verse 3. Delight thyself also in the Lord, verse 4. Commit thy way unto the Lord, verse 5. And he shall bring it all pass to pass. Now, when you come down to verse 7, remember, rest in the Lord. We'll sort of do it backwards, I guess. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And the verb, wait patiently for him, is the verb to tremble, to be grieved, to be pained. That's the word. Wait patiently for him. You're wrapping yourself, stretching yourself out, waiting, waiting. The problem isn't that your problem's there, but the problem's making you make sure you wait on God. Wait on God. Wrap yourself around God. And it means you do it yourself. You do it. You strive. You make an effort. You make this work. You do it. You wrap yourself around. Wrap yourself. Wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for God. And turn in a circle. Wrap yourself around. Firmly, tightly, wrap yourself around God. Waiting for God. In the midst of the world, Jeremiah is going to do it. And they don't believe. Nebuchadnezzar is coming. The realities are all there. But he's hanging in there. He's doing the right thing. Because he can't change. People are people. You can't make them believe what they don't want to believe. They have to want to believe. They don't want to believe, they won't. And in the process, you can't change the world's course. You might wish you could, but you can't. It's too many pieces. And we have none of them, it seems. So here it goes. So now, God, what are you going to have to do? Well, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. To writhe with pain, as it were, wrap yourself around God. Wrap yourself around God. Wait. Wait patiently. Now, what is Israel supposed to be doing? Over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. In Isaiah chapter 26. What were they supposed to be doing? What should they have done? Isaiah was ahead telling them, but no one paid attention to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. You'll remember the wonderful, wonderful future they have if they just take it. In that day shall this song be sung, verse 1, in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. We don't need to worry about for protection anything, because God will be our protection in every way. No one can get through. The peace of God which passes all understanding, God's going to protect us. A whole wonderful city and civilization. Verse 2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou will keep him, God will keep, guard him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, fixed, steadied on thee. And why? Because you're resting in the right person for the right reasons, and therefore you're going to be stayed because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord, verse 4. How long do you do it? Forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is what? Everlasting strength. So you want to be strong, you don't want to get weak, you want to hang in there. So now, having God introduced that, now he goes into the tribulation, etc. And when you slide all the way over, if you would, to verse 16, 26:16. And here's the tribulation. Wow. Now, what are you going to do? God is a wonderful future, but things aren't going to be that easy for Israel in its journey into and through the tribulation. Chapter 26:16. Lord, in trouble they have visited thee. In trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, and in pain, and crieth, and there's the word, grieve, in pain, tremble, to wrap around, and in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. There's your word again, to be wrapped around. We're in the middle of this thing. We're all wrapped up in it. We can't escape. In the tribulation, they can't escape, as it were. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. We haven't accomplished a blessed thing. Not one thing have we accomplished. All of our efforts and all of our exercise and all of our experience, we produce nothing. Nothing. And thus, the having to any hope to avoid the judgment isn't happening. Judgment by our enemies because of our sin is going to happen. There's no way out of it. Thus, we are in a state of mental stretch. We are pained. There's no way around. No way out of. We've got to go through it. Just like in David, God tells you in all kinds of different ways. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the what? The shadow of death, I will fear. No. I'm going to go through it. Not around it. I'm going to go through it. That's right. Through it. What's we going to do? God. That deep darkness. Wow. Now, having said that, over if you would, keeping in mind God would like to rescue them. They don't want to be rescued as a nation. Over if you, in chapter 26 and in verse 20, God gives the great hope to Israel in the tribulation. Be of good cheer. What are they going to do? Is God going to give them victory over the Antichrist? And the Antichrist will be defeated? No. Israel is going to be put under bondage to the Antichrist. Come, my people, verse 20, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation, the judgment, the great judgment, the great anger of God be overpassed. You have to let the tribulation work out. So all you can do is when I tell you in the middle of the tribulation, Matthew 24, don't stop to get lunch, don't stop to get money, run as quick as you can out of Jerusalem and go hide. That's all I can tell you. Don't even go to get your wallet. No credit cards. Just get out of there as fast as you can. Now verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. God is going to put the whole thing together in a most wonderful and marvelous way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And in Psalm 83, and remember the word you're looking at, to grieve, to wrap around, to be pained, to tremble, and it is used in Psalms, etc., of the whole earth is going to tremble one day. The whole earth will tremble before God. Now, another way to say that, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Earth, under, over. Everyone bows. No choice. Reality. But here it is. But we don't see it. People don't want to see it. So now, Psalm 83, in the light of looking at Israel into the future, keep not thou silent, verse 1, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They're against you very publicly. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and have consulted against thy holy ones. They're out to get you, God. They have come and they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Verse 5. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. They are set in their heart. And the only way you can attack God is by his people. The only way you can attack God is by his people. You can't hit God. You can hit Israel. You can hit his word. You can hit the church. Believers, you can't hit God. So when you got to take it out on somebody, you can't do it with God. Take it out on his people. Thus keeping that in mind. And God in his wonderful way has his people surrounded. And his people are surrounded by enemy. And so, just so you remember that, in the light of that, when are you free of? What room do you go in? What part of the world do you want to go to? Where do you intend to go? Tonight, tomorrow, or next year? And get away from the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, the rulers of darkness everywhere. Where do you intend to go to get rid of the enemy? You're thinking? I'll make it easier. Where do you go to get away from the air that you breathe? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go. So God, since we can't get away, you know, we can. No, it's his time, his world. And so here we are, God, looking to you. The world system is there, very powerful, exercising itself to keep us from what? From being saved, A. be to keep you from enjoying being saved. So you don't enjoy being saved. Keep you so wrapped up in everything. Your work, home, school, place, pressures, and all the different things. So we don't enjoy being saved. So now, over in Psalm 32. Psalm 32, just to bring it together. In Psalm 32, we were there the other day, but would you pick up, please, in the light of looking to God, verse 7, Thou art my hiding place. Remember in Isaiah 26, verse 1, the Lord God is a wall, is covers and protects all of Israel. All of Israel in his, like this. Where's Israel hidden in God? It's very public, but you can't get at it. The devil can't get at it. He won't get at it, of course. For they are thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. So remember, we did that. Just God, just think of being in out in the castle somewhere, and the enemy's all coming, and you have a moat around you of water or something, and you have it, and the enemy, and the moat's full of fire, and whatever, and it's hard to get in. You're protected. God said, I'll be your moat. I'll be it. I'll protect you. I'll protect you. I am your deliverer. So every time something comes, we have the wonderful songs. I didn't create them. You didn't create them. God created them. They're his songs. His songs of saving grace. And he puts them together. And so as we're going, God has to keep us. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God, you're going to have to keep us going down the corridor of time. No question. So God, you're going to surround us with songs of deliverance. So in each thing in our life, as we're going, Israel, if you just were to practice that, you would have been surrounded ultimately maybe by Nebuchadnezzar, but they couldn't have done anything. But you never gave God the opportunity. You never gave God the opportunity to surround you with a song of deliverance. Things in our life that God would just say, if you just trust me, I'll create another song. Can you imagine the hymn book, if you could imagine that? The size of the hymn book. What size would that hymn book be about you? All the songs about as you trusted God, he did, he did, he did, he did. Wow. So now, Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, picking up, if I can, directly in verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So God, you're there. You're there to be the refuge for us, a strong tower. We can find our hiding place in you. Here we are very public, very exposed to the air, to the germs, to disease, to all the stuff in our little world and our big world. We're exposed to it all. But God, if we just look to you and wrap ourselves around you, we'd be protected. Just like you use the sand of the sea to keep all the oceans in place. And God, it's nothing for you to protect little old me, little old us. Nothing for you to protect us. Nothing at all. In the middle of it all, the rain, sleet, snow, it's all there, and here we are. Wow. Now, having done that, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. So we're going to look to God, and God keeps telling us that over and over in all kinds of different ways. And when you come to the, over if you would please, to verse 9, Psalm 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Where are you going to find your housing? Where are you going to find your home tonight? In God, in His wonderful presence, God. Mm-hmm. Hang on. Sliding down, verse 14. And when you do that, what did you find out? Well, and remember, Psalm 91 is written by Moses. So when you come down, verse 14, because he has set God, he, the believing heart, has set his love upon me, said God, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I'm going to just look to God, and God's going to do what he's going to do in a most wonderful way. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, David again, helping us. And may I go, directly to verse 20. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Before the sons of men, in the light of the world, in the light of work, home, school, play, those that are trusting in thee. Verse 20. That's verse 19. Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So in verse 19, God is there to protect if we're willing to take it. Verse 20, the secret place of the Most High. God is going to hide us where? In His presence. Now you say, how can he do that? Everyone can see you. That's true. That's true. But there's a wonderful, wonderful something that God does that protects us in his presence. That's why you want to learn to understand that. You have to learn it. Because we have to understand God's ever presence. God is power. So we're looking to God to help us. Over in chapter 31, verse 5. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So God, I'm looking to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm in the middle of your presence. And everything around me is burning and fire and brimstone. And yet I'm real comfy, confident. In your presence, God. Just in your presence, God. It's all right. Then you use your common sense and do everything you should. But you're in the midst of it, in the midst of it all, you're resting in God. Verse 15. But I trust, I'll read verse 14 for a little background. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me now for thy mercy's sake. So the word face, the word presence, God's presence. God, here I am. Now, God, be pleased. be pleased to do what you do best, what no one else can do, to keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. No one else can do that, God. You can do it. And so, God, here we are. And here's Nebuchadnezzar, and here's Jeremiah, and here's the people, and they do not tremble at his presence. They are not stirred to get all wrapped up in a great God. Not stirred to do so. That's too bad. Wow. Now, having said that, the other little part, my times are in your hands, and that means my times, the up and down, the ins and outs, the easy, the hard, the much, the little, work, home, school, play, coming and going, and all the stuff, my times, as the clock goes, are in your hand. That's what I'm looking for. And you surround me with songs of deliverance. I'm trusting you. I'm going to hide in you, God. Secret of your presence. I'm going to rest in you. And no one will understand it, but you do. And no one can violate it unless you let them. No one can violate it. Nothing can violate it. Wow. Now, Psalm 37. And you would note, remember the first introductory four words, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. All the thing is happening. Is Nebuchadnezzar going to go away? No. Is Israel going to get right with you? Not yet. And now don't fret. Don't get all heated up. Don't lose your cool. Hang in there. I wish the things of all the politics at work, all the problems in the city, in the country, in the world, oh God, and you get all upset with them. It's a lot to get upset about if you want to. But it's part of the system. That's where it's going. And you try to do the best you can in representing a good direction. That's all. Now, in the light of that, in rest in the Lord, verse 7, is another. Rest in the Lord. Don't fret. Don't lose your cool. Wait patiently. Wrap yourself around God so you don't get all tied up in the wrong, having everything tie you up. Don't let the problem tie you up. Don't let it do that. Don't let it tie you up so that you're handicapped because you went and got all tied up. So you couldn't do anything. Wow. So the word rest, remember the word rest, to be still, composed, to wait with silence, submission, being still, calm, quiet. And remember, we shared it 100 years ago, whatever, and when we did it. In Exodus 15:16, you don't have to turn there, where God tells you that the enemy, will be so subdued, they will be. Are they going to get angry and say something, do something? No. The enemy, said God, will be still, S-T-I-L-L, as a stone. That's the word. Rest in the Lord. Still as a stone. Not going anywhere. The enemy. Now, for our end of it, though, for our end, God, looking at it. Over, if you would, Psalm 107. And picking up, if I can, verse 25. For he commandeth, 107:25. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Where did the storm? How, God, you allowed the storm. He did. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They are at their wit's end. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of all of their distresses. He maketh, verse 29, the storm, that he all knows about it. He maketh a storm so that the waves thereof are still. Rest in the Lord. Still. Still as a stone. Terrible storm, quiet. Now, how can that be? How fast do you think God could calm your troubled heart if you trust him? Are you working on that? I'll give you another illustration. Here we are. I'll take this off because you're on. Now, this fellow is in trouble. This fellow's in trouble. Now, how fast he's moving all over the place. There's no place to go. Now, the minute he stops, how fast does he find relief and rest? The minute he what? The minute you sat down, you stopped. What happens if he kept doing this? No, he has to stop and be still. And thou will keep him in perfect peace. He did nothing except put himself upon the right person for the right reason. And how long did it take to stop the troubled heart? It doesn't take 3 days. 4 weeks. 25 doctor visits. The moment you truly do it, you stop. Think of Hebrews 4:10. And I will give him my rest, and he will cease from his own works. And he'll stop. Just like that. Just like that. Wow. Now, so in the process of that, and he'll keep him in perfect calm. So, therefore, God, here we are. And we're going to go and understand God in the process of all things, looking at them, trusting God. We're going to go and look to you to hang in there, to hold on. And we have a great expectancy. We're going to look to you, expect it. And we're going to be obedient. That means we're going to hold ourselves accountable. God, I am to trust you. I'm not to get unwrapped. I'm to stay wrapped around you. I'm not to get unwrapped. And I'm going to go and listen to you. I'm going to hold myself ready in obedience to honor you. And I'm going to hold myself listening quietly, so that I stay quiet. I don't want to get upset. Still as a stone. I want you to rest, still as a stone. About God, I gotta, no gotta, just shut up. How's that? Just shut up and be quiet. That's all you have to do. Don't say a thing. You ever hear that? Don't say a thing. Shh. Do you remember God reaching dear Elijah? He was a chaste man by that woman, Jezebel, and everything. And he ran all the way down to Mount Sinai, down in that area, the Saudi Arabia, etc., and went down there. Wow. And, you know, and God said, well, there's the, and God said, hit him. Said, I'm going to help you, Elijah. I'm going to help you. All right. Elijah said, boy, I need help. Okay. And God put him and said, I'm going to show you how strong I am. How powerful I am. I don't want you to worry about that woman, Jezebel. No matter how ferocious she is. No matter what. So, and he said, well, listen, I'm going to help you understand. So he sent a great wind. But you know what? God was not in the wind. And he sent a great earthquake. He's up in a cave on the mountains. And God was not in the earthquake. He sent a fire. But God was not in the fire. And Elijah's in the cave, all clothed and covered up from all of this stuff. And then God said in a still, small voice, there's your word, still. In a still, small voice, God whispered. After all of that commotion, and here's Elijah in the cave, and he heard God's whisper, and he put his cape down, and out he went, and there was God in a still small voice. We have to learn to listen to God, and you have to be quiet. You can't have, not unless you're a super duper person and can block out everything. You want to be quiet in the heart. Stop. I gotta. No. You know, gotta anything. You gotta breathe. That's true. But that's it. And you gotta rest and listen to God. So what? You can listen to him. Here's his word. And you can rumble off and do whatever you want. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to him. And you know, I don't have to understand all that he says. And the doctor talks to me, and the doctor knows what he's doing, and I just know the doctor talked to me. Did the doctor come in today to see you? He came in today to see me. What did he say? I don't know. But he said a whole lot. And he felt very comfortable with what he was saying. And I feel very good. I don't even know what he said. But I feel very good. Because he does. Listen to God. You don't have to understand it all. You need to believe it. And then you listen. And quiet. And just let it. God. How do you think God's going to speak to you? He takes this. And the Spirit of God. And he'll speak. Now I'm telling you. You say, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, then you need to learn that. You need to learn it. Because it's for real. But you got to do it right. It isn't a game. It isn't we're praying a religious make-believe game. That's the last thing we're doing. That's the last thing you want to do. I hate make-believe religion. I hate religion anyway. No offense. I just hate the dumb thing. Stupid, it robs us. Anyway, got the idea? You do? No. Nothing else. Wait. Wrap yourself around. And every time the thing doesn't go away, wrap it around you another time. And when it stays, wrap it around another time. When it stays, wrap it around another time. And when they keep, wrap it around. Don't unwrap it, wrap it around till you're locked in. What do you think? Anyway, we'll have a word of prayer. Remember to pray for our country. Pray for the men and women in the